Okay, I think we're ready to kick off. We've got two presentations in the next session with a bit more of a technical angle and both relating to pricing. The first presenter is Chris Morton. Chris has been employed with IAG for the last 3 years, where he's been involved in a number of projects specifically focusing on pricing. He's quite modest in his bio here. I'm sure he's well qualified to talk through this presentation. I think it's good to have a nice technical presentation and certainly get us back to pricing. So over to Chris. Okay. Cheers.
Okay, thanks Mitch, and thank you for everyone coming to my presentation. So today I'll just be talking about the standard error of technical cost, incorporating parameter uncertainty. And hopefully you'll find it, or find something in it, informative. Okay, so for those of you from a pricing background, you'll be familiar with the term technical cost. I've defined it here as the best estimate of all the costs from underwriting a policy. And it's a key input into pricing decisions and performance and monitoring reports, and is used daily by technical people and communicated to portfolio managers as well. However, the variance of this estimate is not commonly used, and I'd like to propose that the variance is a significant component and that it can lead to a better and more sustainable pricing decisions. So on the screen here, we've got a chart of average claim size for a motor portfolio for the at-fault collision claim type. And on the x-axis, we've got the time, and then the left y-axis is the average claim size, and the right y-axis is the grey bars. The grey bars is the number of claims. Now, charts like this should be familiar to most. It's just looking at the actual experience, which is the blue line, and as you can see, it's quite volatile from month to month, as is expected from a random process. So the next logical step that actuaries in their pricing work do is to build a model based on this data, and that's this red line. Now, the model can then be used to predict the future and make decisions on pricing and predict the performance of the portfolio, where we predict it into the future. Now, this model, depending on how you've specified it, may also give us confidence intervals of our predictions. And this will allow us to see whether the emerging actual experience is within the bounds of what we expect. And perhaps repeated departure from the bounds suggests that our model could be improved or refitted. However, this is all for just one claim type and just one claim component. If we were to repeat this for claim frequency and severity, we would get multiple models and multiple confidence intervals. This is a lot of information to process. So the way that actuaries in their pricing work combine each of these models is to multiply the claim frequencies and claim sizes and then sum them up over the claim types. This value here is the technical cost, and it's the value which is communicated to portfolio managers and used to make the pricing decisions. Now, I use technical costs so often in my daily work that it's easy to take it for granted. But I began to wonder, what distribution does this quantity actually have? And because it's made up of so many different models and which have different distributions, I wondered, what distribution did this quantity have? So then I began to wonder how, when two policies, as was shown here, they have different average claim sizes and different average frequencies, but their technical cost is the same in the end at $281. So I wondered, how could you then determine, given that their expectation is the same, which policy is more risky? So these were just some of the questions that I wanted answered. So I looked through some of the actuarial and statistical literature and found some answers, but nothing was really specific. They didn't really talk specifically about generalized linear models, which are very common in insurance applications. And also I found that some of the papers use simulation techniques which are reasonably involved and don't really lend themselves to speed or being able to rerun each time. So, and specifically, I was, in my application while looking into this, I was more interested in finding a closed-form solution which could be produced alongside the normal predictions that we do daily. And also that the papers did not always consider parameter uncertainty, which necessarily arises from fitting a model. So I thought it would be interesting to then investigate these, which is why the paper was written. So by the end of today's presentation, I'd hope that you'll begin to appreciate that considering variance is significant and useful, and that parameter uncertainty is present when using models. It's significant and therefore needs to be quantified. So the scope of what I'll be talking about today is just to briefly touch on the fundamental equation of insurance, why we include parameter uncertainty, and then I'll finish off with some practical applications of the use of the variance of technical cost incorporating parameter uncertainty. So all of insurance is based on the idea that events occur at a random time in the future, and when they do occur, they have a random severity. So this notion is conveniently summarised in the equation on the screen, where n is the random number of claims and x is the random size of the claim once it has occurred. So this equation should be familiar to you from probably your university days, and it's fundamental to the study of ruin theory. Now, n and x could belong to any distribution, but for this presentation, I'm just going to assume that n is Poisson distributed and x is gamma distributed. So this graph, this is a graph of the coefficient of variation with and without parameter uncertainty for a particular sample of policies. On the x-axis, we've got the coefficient of variation, and then on the y-axis is the percent of policies. So the blue histogram is the coefficient of variation ignoring parameter uncertainty, and the red histogram is the coefficient of variation including parameter uncertainty. It should be quite obvious to see from this that the distribution of the coefficients of variation incorporating parameter uncertainty is a lot more spread than when it was ignored. And also, so in that way, it means that whether A was twice as more risky as B, that relativity has changed by incorporating parameter uncertainty. And then also looking at the rank correlation between the two measures, we see that because this is not 100%, that the actual way you've ranked them in terms of their riskiness or uncertainty based on their variance has changed also. Now, generalized linear models, which are commonly used in insurance, basically, the frequency and sizes of a person's claims are randomly distributed. Each person has a unique distribution. So each person will have an equation like we saw before. And if we knew each person's true distribution, then we would have a lot less work to do, because if an unseen person came in off the street, we would already have an idea about how risky they were. However, we only observe these random processes through data we collect. So for an unseen person, we need to be able to use information we have gathered about other people that we've had on our books to determine how risky they are. So generalized linear models allow a convenient framework to link data and distributions together. So specifically given our data, which is X transpose, and a set of parameter estimates, beta, GLMs allow us to make inferences about the mean response of the number of claims and the size of the claims. Now, because the parameter estimates, beta, are estimated by maximum likelihood during the fitting process, we know they have an asymptotically normal distribution, which is represented by the equation below. So that is, there is uncertainty or a range of possible values the parameters could take. This is what we call parameter uncertainty. So I've again just repeated the distribution of the parameters. And as you can see, that the specification of your model, which is X transpose, so depending on how you've or what variates you fit, say age of youngest driver or make of vehicle or sum insured, and how you've fit it, say categorically or using splines, then this model, this specification of your model, will affect the parameter uncertainty. That is because it's the distribution is a function of X transpose. So, So my point is that fitting low exposure in insignificant parameters will increase uncertainty. So using proper judgment when fitting models is very important. and you should only add factors which materially increase the predictiveness of your models. Otherwise, they instead unnecessarily increase the uncertainty of your parameters, and by extension, the uncertainty in your estimate of technical cost, which is then communicated to portfolio managers, and which then decisions are made upon. So some of the further details, which I'm only going to talk about briefly, you can find more of the details in the paper, which is on the website. So first, we can take our equation from a few slides ago, which was the random sum. We can then condition on our data, X transpose beta, and then we can see that the variance of Y is now just a function of X given our data and N given our data. Because we have a functional form and we've specified what distribution these things take, we're able to then solve for the moments and substitute them back in. So basically the variance of the technical cost is then a function of the means and the dispersion parameters from each of the individual models. Okay. So basically, have a look at the paper for some more details. In the paper, I use a common example of a log link for gamma and a log link for Poisson, which I think is kind of standard in the industry. So I'd like to now just finish on the practical applications of using the standard error of technical cost, incorporating the parameter uncertainty. So the first of which is that the variance can add an additional dimension to analyses. So looking at claim frequency, claim size, technical costs, policy growth, average premium, etc., are commonly used when comparing pricing scenarios or strategies. But given that we've got a derivation of the variance, we can now look at how that, or use that also in our decision making. So the example I'll use is to then create a pricing scenario heat map. So this is a heat map for a specific pricing scenario that was being evaluated for a motor portfolio. So there are three dimensions to the heat map. The first is that the x-axis represents the profit each policy is expected to generate, given an estimate for the technical cost and the premium we will charge them under that pricing scenario. Secondly, the y-axis represents the standard error of technical cost, incorporating parameter uncertainty. And lastly, the intensity of the squares represent the expected number of policies at the end of year one, after being offered a specific premium. So this is calculated by using elasticity models for conversion, renewal, and cancellation. So I've split this graph split the heat map into quadrants. In the top left, we have low profit customers who have high uncertainty, and I've classified these policies as bad. You don't really want to see a large concentration of policies in that quadrant when you're looking at pricing scenarios or different ones. And then in the bottom right, we have profitable customers who have low uncertainty. So these policies are good because we're quite certain of the profit that they're going to make us, and therefore we should be targeting them. When comparing scenarios, we'd like to see more of our policies down in that quadrant. And then in the top right, we have policies who are profitable but have higher uncertainty. So these policies are okay. Worse than good customers and better than bad customers. But most of our policies are in this quadrant. So we're expecting to make a little bit of profit, but they might have their claim that occurs every 7 years and have a total loss on their car. Now, the benefit of looking at a heat map like this is that we could then compare different pricing scenarios. So we could look at them side by side or by overlaying the two scenarios and taking a difference. So in that way, we can compare the movement of policies in the profitability versus uncertainty space between the two scenarios. So we could see where the concentrations lie and then therefore graphically decide that this scenario or this method is looking at or targeting higher risk policies. Okay. Some of the other practical applications that I've thought of are the production of confidence intervals. So at the beginning, we saw confidence intervals for the average claim size of motor at-fault collision. And the standard error, which is derived in this paper, could now be used to produce confidence intervals for the sum and the multiplication of the claim frequency, claim size, and the sum of these different claim types. So hopefully this would allow clearer exposition and consideration of uncertainty. And we could also then cut the technical cost by different factors and see how that confidence interval varies by those. We could also, a second application is that we can allocate capital down to an individual policy level and use as an input into DFA modelling. So in this way, returns on risk-based capital for individual policies could be calculated and then fed directly into the pricing of policies. And also, I haven't really looked into this, but given that we've got this variance for individual policies, it can also be that marginal contribution that this additional policy makes to then the overall variance in your book. And then the third application is to risk adjust key performance indicators. So business targets usually focus on short-term goals such as average premium growth, immunised net result or policy growth to provide direction and incentive to the business. However, uncertainty around these results are not commonly looked at, or they're not at least quantified in the way that was done here. So that's not to say that, it's not, they do consider it, but only in sort of a rule of thumb sort of way. And then by adjusting the targets based on the uncertainty of the results, I propose that you can extend the time horizon that people are looking at so that the business considers these results based on the sustainability of the things instead of sort of these focusing on the short-term goals. Because it might be good that you've met your average premium target, but at what expense was that made? And like, was due consideration given to the uncertainty of the policies that you've written to achieve that target?
Do you want to wrap up?
Yep. And then just concluding, I'd just like to remind you of a few things. Just that variance of the technical cost has practical uses, including adding additional dimension to analyses, and that the variance can only be estimated from data we collect and analyse, which necessarily adds parameter uncertainty, which is significant and should be quantified. Okay?
Cool. Thanks, Chris. We've probably got time for one quick question before moving on. Anyone want to ask anything? Okay. We will move on then, so join me in thanking Chris.